Okay, well, welcome everyone. I'm Mike Aguilera, and I've got a lot of good information to cover. I'll first go through my experience and then some of the root causes of the fear of public speaking, some words and how condition, what you can do to start to change your perspective or experience about presenting or performing, also how to condition yourself, and things that I've done, and also some other ideas and techniques that I've had people have requested or asked what do I do if my mind goes blank, if I'm just there performing and I go blank, and so, or they're presenting. So I'll go into that and some other tips and techniques that will help you. And this is a crash course because I do a workshop that's a day and a half long where I go into more energy exercises and techniques to really condition yourself to feel relaxed and confident. And also on the day and a half session, I also add in presentation techniques because once you're relaxed and confident, what can you do to move confident to the words that you use, your body language, your voice pattern. So this is a crash course that will help you in many different ways. For some, this will be breakthrough. For others, you may want to learn more about or attend my day and a half workshop on presenting with confidence. First off, my intent here is, again, to share with you some tips and techniques that have helped me and many people that I've coached or worked with or attended my workshop. And by for me sharing with you this information, some of you, again, will have breakthroughs and others may have some other questions. So this is going to be an interactive teleconference call. And so I'll ask if there's any questions and if there's anything that comes to mind or anything else you want to know. We can cover that also as much as we can. First, for me, I used to and pretty much had the fear of public speaking. I can recall back in grade school and high school, even doing a speech in high school where I was so concerned, I was thinking people were going to notice my hands were shaking while I was holding my notes. And so for me, it was baffling because there were times I was okay and relaxed in front of a group, and other times I was just a bundle of nerves. And so as I got into corporate America and started to do presentations, I still had that same experience. And so it was my quest to figure out what I can do to control the nerves or to be more relaxed. Not only because of the anxiety and how bad it made me feel, but also because I knew it would impact my success in business because I knew I had to do more presentations, I had to be in front of more people. And it wasn't just being in front of people, it was even that anxiety of maybe some of you experience where you have to go down the row and introduce yourself, and so you're sitting there waiting and waiting until your name's going to be called. In the beginning, I'm relaxed, and then when it gets closer to my name, I think, oh, I hope I say the right thing, or I hope I... don't say the wrong thing. So even that anxiety started to baffle me and figure out what's going on. What can I do to control these nerves or what can I do to be more relaxed? And why am I relaxed sometimes and not other times? So I had to go through some soul searching and also attended many workshops and presentations and read books and tested out different things and then also started to help other people as I created some breakthroughs in my life. And most of the workshops out there, like Toastmasters is a good program. However, it's a slow program, and Toastmasters is where you practice giving presentations, and the reason it could be slow for some people is because there was a tendency, well, actually it's structured where they tell you what you're doing wrong, so many ums and things that you're doing wrong, and so you tend to get a little anxiety about, what am I going to do some more things that are wrong in my presentation? And so I had to figure out a way of accelerating that, and then most of the presentation workshops that I've attended have been more on just practice. Here's how to structure a presentation. Just get in front of the room and practice, and you'll get better. However, you don't always have that opportunity to practice in front of the room. So there were some things that I went through that have helped me and made a big difference. First off, I had to figure out some of the reasons or the root cause. And for many people, the root cause is either one, you, as a child, in childhood, maybe you either were in front of the group and you felt nervous, or you saw someone in front of the group and they were nervous and people were teasing or laughing about it. And so there was that connection there that being in front of an audience or being in front of a group can be embarrassing or can be hurtful to a certain degree. Or there could be the root cause of, in some people, it's just getting attention, any kind of attention, can be a connection to concerns or fears, and the attention could be developed both also in childhood, and it can be to the point of from parents. Sometimes in many families, the mom and dad are busy, and they're spending some time with you or the children, and then if something goes wrong, if the child then does something wrong and they get scolded, there's a lot of attention being placed on the child. And so if you see that as a child, that either you're getting attention in the wrong way because of getting scolded, or maybe a brother, a sister, a sibling are getting scolded and they're getting attention, and there's that unusual connection there. And so some of what I'm sharing here is just to demystify where it might have come from. And for some of you, just understanding that will help. There's actual exercises that I do to unravel that and to empower you, even though you might have experienced that in the past. There's ways of changing the energy around that to empower you. For many people, it could be just knowing where it came from and just moving on. For others, like myself, I had to go through some exercises. So one is just identifying the root cause from either childhood or an experience in childhood or even maybe high school, and also just the public opinion or the public suggestion that everyone is told public speaking is fearful, and so you're already conditioned that it must be fearful because everyone is saying it is. And so there's that suggestion in your mind that, everyone says it's going to be scary or fearful or it's going to be nerve-wracking, so I'm probably going to experience that. And so it's a self-fulfilling prophecy or self-fulfilling suggestion. So a couple of things that you can do. One is you demystify. The other would be in the communication style that I teach and that I'm trained in and certified, it's called NLP. And there's some words and terms that I'm going to share with you. One of them is called a label or frame. And just like in a picture, if you change the frame of a picture, it changes some of the colors and the way you notice it. And so in presenting, what I discovered is when I kept saying I was going to give a presentation or a speech, I started to get the anxiety. And so in NLP or communication, if you change the word, it'll change the energy. So instead of saying you're going to give a speech or a presentation, change that to I'm going to have a conversation with the audience about my topic. And so, in essence, that's what you're going to do. When you're going to present, you're going to have a conversation with the group. You just don't want to talk to them. You want to engage them, either ask them questions or just make eye contact as a conversation. And so as I started to relabel it as I'm going to have a conversation with them, it changed my feeling about what I was going to do. And also it changed my body language and the interaction and the engagement that I had. And so when you think about presenting or even have a job interview, I'm going to have an interview, change that with a conversation, and from that your energy will change. Because if you start to think about I'm going to present, you think about performing, and there's that performance anxiety. And so just relabel it. And Susie, for you, I'd have to think about that. You will be performing as in singing, so there may be something else that you can say instead. I'm going to perform. I'm going to entertain, or not maybe not entertain, or I'm going to sing, or just something, another word besides perform, because perform, it means all the attention is going to be on you, and there's that could be that connection with anxiety. So there's going to be another word that you'll have to think about. Because you're not going to have a conversation with them if you're going to be singing. You're going to be, and I would suggest replacing performing with some other word. And I'll have to think about that. And if I think of a word, I'll email it to you. Or if you come up with a word, go ahead and call me or email it. And I'm curious to find out what would work or what will work for you.
Okay.
So the first, did that make sense, Susie?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Because I have
right
to...
Right now, I'm sorry, go on.
I was going to say, because I have to focus on it not being a performance, because it's part of worship. And
okay.
So I have to stay away from performance, because then I'd really freak out.
Okay, good. Yes, and so what have you been labeling it right now? When you're thinking about singing in front of the group?
I haven't. So I haven't, because I didn't realize that would help. So I haven't. I just have stayed away from thinking about it as a performance and think about it more as worship, as part of my worshiping. But I haven't found a word to have a phrase the way you're suggesting here, so I will have to give that some thought.
Yeah, because the word, will help channel your energy and also help relax and calm you down. And even the adrenaline that people get when they're going to present or talk, if it's one-on-one or to a group or to sing, whatever it is, embrace the adrenaline. If people feel adrenaline, then they go, oh, I'm feeling nervous. I knew it was going to happen, and that it will accelerate and change the energy into nervousness. And so if you just say, okay, I can feel the adrenaline, change the word adrenaline into energy. I feel the energy. And then that energy, because you do need energy when you're in front of a group. Your body says, okay, there's more eyes looking at me, so I need to have more energy to stay in focus and engaging. And so even if you feel energy, go ahead and embrace it and say, okay, and then quickly change it to, I feel the energy, instead of I feel the adrenaline, or I feel nervous, or I feel the nerves. So if you've been thinking about, uh-oh, I feel nerves, change that into I feel energy. And so even the labeling of nerves or being nervous, just change it into energy, and that'll help also. And other words that you want to be cautious with, one of them is don't, D-O-N apostrophe T, don't. In presentations or in communications, there's a series of words that I go through, and also in presentations, this is critical in regards to your internal dialogue when you're talking to yourself. The word don't is in a category of words called negations. And so if I say, don't think of the color blue, or don't think about your car outside, wherever it's parked at, you have to make an image of that and supposedly erase it. However, it's too late. And what happens is people will use the word don't in a way that will create energy. They'll tell themselves, I don't want to be nervous, or I don't want to mess up. And so once you say, I don't want to be nervous, your mind starts to capture and think about nervousness and what that means and the images and the feelings, and it will create more nervousness instead of avoiding it. So if you catch yourself saying, I don't want to be nervous, then what you want to do is replace that with a positive outcome. Say, okay, I want to be calm and relaxed. Stay calm and relaxed. Enjoy the energy. Yeah, I'm going to have a nice conversation with a group. So remove the word, the negative phrase of don't, I don't want to be nervous, or I don't want to mess up, or I don't want to feel nervous, with the positive outcome. I want to feel relaxed. I want to stay calm, and I want to stay poised. So use words that will help create energy that will reinforce what you want. So be cautious with the word don't. The other word is try, T-R-Y. Try means to attempt. And so people, when they're talking to themselves, will use this word, and it will not engage you in a positive way. So if you use the word like, I'm going to try to stay calm, it means you're going to attempt it, but you're really not going to do it. Your mind and body are not engaged into that. So remove the word try and say, I'm going to stay calm, not I'm going to try. And then your mind and body, your subconscious mind, will embrace that and be more proactive of staying calm. Because if you say, I'm going to try, your mind and body don't receive that as a natural suggestion or command or an intent that you want to do. So be cautious with the word try. Just, again, just like with don't, think about the outcome that you want, the positive outcome. I'm going to stay poised and relaxed and enjoy this. And this is going to be fun. So those are a couple of dangerous words and also some labeling that will instantly help you. Conditioning. This is something I came across that, before I go into conditioning, let me cover one more word. I talked about the shy factor, because I was told when I was very young that I was shy. And so that kind of creates a stigma of people thinking that you're not confident or you don't feel confident. And I had to relabel shy, and I tell this to many people also. The word shy, actually, what you should relabel it is that you're respectful and considerate. Because in essence, that's what shy people are. They don't want to be boisterous or interrupting people. They just simply want to be respectful or sensitive to other people around them. So now if you're going to give a presentation, then instead of thinking I'm shy, I think, okay, I want to respect the people, I want to be sensitive to them, I want to engage them, and I want to have a nice conversation with them. And that'll help kind of neutralize that possible label that you had of being shy. And so, because even when I'm coaching people, they say, well, I'm shy. I say, well, yes, that's one way of looking at it. However, I want you to replace the word shy with I'm respectful and sensitive to people around me. And that'll create more energy and cause you to be more engaging. So I wanted to make sure I covered the shy factor on that too. Does this make sense so far? Any questions? How are we doing? Good? Good.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay, great. Conditioning. This is a fun one. This one will help if you're going to sing or if you're going to present or even an interview. Or this is a technique that I came across as I was reading motivational books and different self-help books. I would remember either reading or hearing some of the people in the books talk about how they saw a presenter or speaker on stage and they said they wanted to do that one day. And so what they were doing is projecting themselves on stage and thinking about helping people or connecting with people. And so what I did is I said, oh, that's interesting. They're conditioning themselves to present in front of a group. And so what I started to do is whenever I was in front of a whenever I was in a room with any people, or if someone was giving a presentation, I would imagine myself being in front of the group, or I would walk up in front of the group and just as I'm circling around the room or just looking for, as if I'm looking for someone, and I would imagine that I was going to give the presentation. I would imagine that I was presenting and saying hello to everyone without saying it out loud. And so I would start to condition myself to be okay and to sense and feel in a relaxed way what it would be like to present in front of a group. And most people don't do that. Most people avoid being in front of a group, and then when they're in front of a group for the first time, it's so unique and something they've never hardly experienced, it becomes a shock, and so the body starts to react with the extra adrenaline. And so what I would do is I would go to presentations, and I would either sit in the back and imagine me being in the front, or if someone was presenting, I would imagine that I was also going to be presenting and imagine what the people would look like, or I'd walk around and look at people. I'd even walk into a restaurant, and I would imagine that I was going to say hello to everyone and yell it out just to have some fun in thinking about it. And there was even one time I was up in Napa years ago, and there was about 50 people getting ready for a wine tour. They're all sitting there. And as I walk around the corner, they were looking towards me, so I just stood there and looked at them as if I was going to say hello to them. And then at one time out here in the Bay Area, the Shoreline Amphitheater, I went to a concert there years ago, and it was sold out. And it seats, I think, 25,000 people. And so what I did is I went all the way to the front of the stage, where the stage is at, as if I was looking for someone, and I looked out at the audience, and I said, so this is what it will look like and what it will feel like when I'm presenting to 25,000 people. So I would do it as much as I could and just have some fun with that. And you can do that also. You can do it when you walk into a restaurant, at a meeting, or even if you're going to perform. Just imagine you're going to walk into a restaurant and you're going to sing a verse or walk into a group and sing for them. Just imagine that you're singing, and it'll condition your mind and body to say, okay, this is not so unique or unusual. And you can even do it watching TV. You can watch Oprah or the Dr. Phil or whichever program, and as they pan out to the audience and you see the audience, you can say, okay, so that's what it will feel like to sit on stage with Oprah, and this is what the audience will look like. And so your mind and body are connecting, just being relaxed and okay with that. And then you start to condition yourself to then say, okay, when I'm in front of a group, I'm going to be okay because I already know what it will feel like and look like. So at this point, from this point on, wherever you're at, just walk in and walk around and just imagine giving a presentation or talking to people or just making an announcement, and it'll start to condition your mind and body to be safe and poised and relaxed in front of a group. Does that make sense? Any
yeah.
questions on that? Okay. Good. And now I want to go into what happens if your mind goes blank. And for me, I would give a presentation, and sometimes someone would ask me a question. I start to answer it, and I forget where I was at. And I had a few people email me about this, saying I get so nervous, sometimes my mind goes blank, even if someone's not even asking them a question. So first off, in the presentation, always have your outcome in mind. If it's to motivate them, to inspire them, if it's to have them hire you or to buy your product or service, whatever the outcome is in mind, that will help you structure the presentation. And also, if you're giving a presentation, if your mind goes blank, you'll start to think, okay, I want them to hire me or to buy my product or service, or what else can I talk or bring into the conversation? And so first off, is always have your outcome in mind. The other things you can do would be to engage the audience. Just simply ask them any questions. If your mind goes blank, just ask the audience any questions, or you can make a statement like, does this make sense? And then just look at the audience, and some people may have questions. Some people will say, yeah, this is good, or this makes sense. And that may give you enough time to look at your notes and then go back on track. Or ultimately, I've done this many times, I would answer a question, and then I would lose track of where I was at, and I would say, so where was I? What was I talking about? And people will look at their notes and say, oh, you were talking about words, or you're talking about body language, or whatever it was. And I said, okay, yeah, now remember. So if you have notes or if you have a PowerPoint, you can look at that or simply engage the audience and simply ask them, where was I at? Something else you can do is just simply ask them as in engaging the audience. So what have you enjoyed so far? What have you learned so far? I'd like some feedback. And so this will give you some ideas of if you have that opportunity with that kind of a presentation to engage the audience, get some feedback, see how where you're at. It could give you some more information on what you can present about. And it would also confirm that you're on track with your presentation and then ultimately get you back on track. Does this make sense?
Yes.
I didn't forget where I was at. I just wanted to, because I've actually used this already throughout this conference call where I said, you know, any questions or does this make sense? And so you can do it naturally. And some people will answer sometimes and sometimes they won't. And so from that, it'll give you a moment or two to then get back on track. And also, it's really good because it creates a pause and an engagement with the audience. Something also that I've caught people do as I was coaching or when they attend my workshops is when I suggest or tell them they're going to do a presentation or get in front of the group, I hear a sigh, like of nervousness or stress. And so if you ever catch yourself sighing, you're telling your mind and body that you're worried or stressing. If you ever catch yourself sighing, what I suggest you do is change that into a growl, like from to like a growl of I'm ready to jump into this, and it changes your whole body feel of that moment. So if you catch yourself sighing, change it into a growl, because sighing is more of distress and concern, and just use that to trigger yourself. Okay, no, I'm not going to be stressed or concerned about this. This is a conversation. I'm going to stay poised, and then just growl. If you have a microphone, don't growl into the microphone. You'll scare the audience. It's intended as you're thinking about it. And also what helps in many presentations, and no matter what you're doing, is rehearsing, just visualizing it in your mind. Most people will rehearse it going bad or what can go bad. So always just imagine being there in two ways. One is looking through your eyes and being relaxed and seeing the audience or the group, or also just imagine seeing yourself on screen, being disassociated, to see what as if you were in the audience, seeing yourself. And it put as much senses into that, what you would feel, the hearing, the room temperature, the sounds, the colors. And the more you put into it, the more it becomes vivid, and your body will say, okay, so this is what it feels like. And so when you're in that position, it's as if you've done it already many, many times, and you're rehearsing your mind and body to be relaxed. And so that's also key in regards to getting yourself conditioned, is to actually visualize it and visualize it being fun and engaging and having a good time. The last thing I wanted to cover is for many people, there are things that you can do that will put you into a state of relaxation or confidence. Most people, it's music. They can hear certain music, and in NLP and communication, it's called an anchor or a stimulus response. For example, if you hear Christmas music, you get a certain Christmas feel about it, and it'll just regress you back to maybe childhood or just good feelings. And so there's certain music that you may have that you can hear while you're either rehearsing or just while you're getting ready to present, that you can just play in your mind, that will bring back those feelings of confidence. And if you don't have, that's one of the things that I do in my workshops, is I go through creating anchors or a positive, what I call a zone, a powerful zone. And if you don't have them, you can create them. However, most people have a certain piece of music or something, or it doesn't necessarily have to be music. It could be a lucky rock or a certain perfume or cologne that you wear that makes you feel good. And so think about something that will help control and give you the energy that you want, and use all your senses that you can. So I covered a lot. The root causes, some of the words you want to be cautious with, the labeling, the shy factor, condition yourself, do that over and over as much as you can, in anywhere or even watching TV. what to do if your mind goes blank, and also some other fun things like growling or creating an anchor with music or something that can help re-engage you. And the words do affect you. The words, if you use the wrong words, your mind and body will go through a chemical reaction. And so you really do want to pay attention to what you think about and then the words that you use, because it will affect you. So use positive words. Always think about the positive outcome. And it could be just the words poise, relax, just say them over and over again, because your mind and body knows what that is. You don't have to create a long affirmation. Just saying the word poise, relax, confident, have fun, engaging, just words that mean something to you that will keep you on track. Whew, covered a lot. Any questions? Has this been good? Yes or yes?
Yes, this has been very good.
Good.
Yes.
Good. Well, I do have a day and a half workshop coming up for those that do want more information on giving presentations. It's a small group workshop, because I only work with a few people, and I guarantee that you will overcome the fear of public speaking. Some people, after the workshop, are empowered, and some people, I still will work with you for up to 30 days, just continue to call you or work with you or coach you, because my intent is to figure out where the root causes and give you some skills and techniques and to help you in whatever way, because giving presentations is for some people critical in your business, because the more people you're in front of, the more clients you have, the more people that you'll impact, the more people you can help, the faster your business will grow. And so for me, it was a quest for me to improve, because I eventually got into giving training and presentation and public speaking, and now I'm doing it internationally all over the world. I've been in Mexico City. This coming weekend I'll be in Denver, Colorado for a conference. So I'm doing something that I enjoy doing, that I love to teach and I love to help people with. And I know I've been getting more and more calls for people asking me, when am I going to have my next workshop or a workshop on presenting with confidence. And so I have one coming up in December, and coming up in another week and a half or so, and I have another one that will be in January. And I'll send you an email with the details on that. And if there's any questions about the workshops or how we can help you, just give me a call or send me an email. Any last questions?
No, I think you've really covered everything. I've got a lot of food for thought and a lot of practicing to do.
Yes, and it could be visual rehearsal. And so, it's your mind is a powerful thing, and you might as well use it and engage in the way that will help you and create some fun and magic in the world. Any other feedback? What other things that people that are on the call enjoyed or will be using?
I like the part of the conditioning that you were talking about, imagining yourself. I like that you walked up the front of the Shoreline amphitheater and thought, okay, this is what 25,000 people feel like. I thought that was great.
Yes. And I was just walking around as if I was looking for somebody, but I stood there for a moment and looked around. And it was a great experience. So I said, okay, so when I'm in front of 25,000, and what's interesting is you can only see maybe 20 rows out, and then after that it gets all blurry. It's just a sea of people, and so it's not as frightening as I thought it would be. So have some fun with that. And it could be a big holiday party, as the holidays are coming up, in regards to just walking into a room. It could be a party or networking event, and just imagine that you're going to get everyone's attention and make an announcement. And then also, there's an opportunity. Be prepared to say a quick thing about your company or your service or whatever you have, because you may have a networking opportunity to where you can make an announcement, and always be prepared with that and feel good and relax. And every time you do something well, reward yourself. If you do a performance or if you present or sing and you're happy with it, acknowledge that. And your mind will say, okay, so you want some more of that. And so if it's going on having a cup of coffee or sitting down and just relaxing and just reflecting on that and feeling good, tell your mind and body that you enjoyed that and it was fun, and it will then condition you to be more relaxed and do more of that around you. And so, again, when you do well, reward yourself in any way that you can that's telling your mind and body, this is what I want more of. So that's more of the conditioning, too. So, well, we will, any other, if there's any last questions? If not, we will sign off. I enjoyed talking, having this conversation with everyone, and I will send out an email reminder, and if this audio came out okay, I'll send you a copy of the audio also.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much,
Mike.
Thank you,
Mike.
Thank you, too. Great chatting with you. Bye now.